Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Can you fly this plane and land it?
Surely you can't be serious.
I am serious. And don't call me Shirley.
In the 1970s, when a movie called Airplane was released, a man might take umbrage at being called a female name. But that wasn't always the case, at least up until the 1930s. The name Shirley was primarily a male name, but then it crossed over. Blame Shirley Temple. This type of shift, it turns out, is common. Joining us to discuss trends in baby names is Aline Nielsen, English professor at Arizona State University and co-president of the American Name Society. Welcome.
Hello, I'm glad to be here.
Good, thanks for coming on. So tell me about this name, Shirley, or Shirley, tell me about this name. When it caught on as a girl's name, fewer and fewer parents gave it to their sons, right?
Right. It came to our attention, we were on the American team working in Afghanistan between 1967 and 69 when it was all peaceful. And one of the American men working there said he was Shirl. And I said, oh, what an unusual spelling, S-H-I-R-L. And he said, well, really, it's Shirley. I'm the fourth generation in my family to be named Shirley. But I couldn't name my son that. It was because of Shirley Temple. So we laughed about it, but I always thought of it.
Yeah.
And got home and met a man working on our faculty, and he was named Beverly, but he went by B.G. He was British.
Is this also sort of the rise of and sort of the fear of being accused of being too femme? You know, is this a problem?
But in all, I got into this because I was into sexism and language, and I began to see such a difference in the meanings of the names we give to the men and to the girls. And then someone had asked me about Billie Jean King, and they said, well, is she such an athlete because she was named Billy?
Mm-hmm.
And I thought about it and said, well, I don't know, because maybe any parents who would name their daughter Billy, they have lots of different activities that they would do with this child. You know, they didn't give her the little pink bedroom and the ruffled bed and all that sort of thing if they did that. So it's hard to blame it just on the name that somebody has. But you look at the parents to see. The names tell the character of the parents more than it does the character of the child.
Right. Now, this works both ways. You know, when you have Shirley Temple, it drives out the male Shirleys. But what happens when you have, I don't know, Shannon and Dana? Does it work the other way as well?
No, because we say we put women on a pedestal, but we really put men on a pedestal. And it's all right for women, for females to climb up and try to be on that pedestal with men. But the other way around, it isn't.
So it's an enhancement to be a Casey, you're saying?
Oh, yes.
Why is that?
Well, because it's a male name, and males just have more prestige. Like I noticed my own children that I tried to raise as so non-sexist. We go down the street once, and there's this man riding a girl's bicycle, and my teenage son sticks his head out of the window and says, get off that girl's bike, this old man. And I thought, oh, how silly. But in any family, we would always let the little girl ride the boy's bicycle. We would let the little girl wear her brother's old worn-out jeans,
sure.
Et cetera.
I mean, there are limits. There are limits. We won't name her Bruno, you know.
No.
But I can feel that you're essentially right about Casey. It gives the woman a certain strength.
Mm-hmm.
That makes sense. By the way, if you want to join in this conversation, if you've just named or about to name your kid, or you just have an obsession with this, as many people do. My sister, for example,
uh-huh.
is just a fan of, is it babynamewizard.com?
Yes.
We have a link to it on our website. Give us a call at 212-433-WNYC. That's 212-433-9692. So just in general, what makes a name catch on? Is in our era of celebrity, does that matter a lot?
Oh, absolutely. I think that's why we get names that are more and more different, because people can find out so quickly. In the old days, some celebrity, it took us much longer to find out what they named the baby. Today, we'd learn about it the next day. And that man, the musician who named his baby Nevaeh, which is heaven spelled backwards, within 1 year after that, Nevaeh came up to be in the top 100 names for little girls.
Wow, that's amazing. And I guess celebrity is stronger than sexism because you have Peyton Manning, and all these Peytons pop up, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean that's is Peyton making the major list now?
Oh, I'm not sure where it is, but it's way up there. But I have some college students named Peyton, and one of them, it was his mother's maiden name.
Oh, well, that doesn't count. What names have had the sort of greatest growth in the last 20 years?
Well, like Hispanic names, certainly.
Right.
And like when I did a study like 25 years ago when I first got into this thing about names and found all these that we gave Angel and Angelica to little girls, but that's gone the other way because, well, they don't pronounce it Angel, but the Hispanic boys, there are lots of them named that now. And especially in Arizona, Hispanic names have come way to the top. And it's a new pride that people, we used to think that African Americans just had such strange names because they didn't know how to spell the names. That's no longer the thing. It's pride that you want to have a different spelling. You want to have a different name.
Right. So we have racism and sexism. Oh, we have a caller. Yeah, you're on the air?
Uh-huh.
Is it Kathleen?
Oh, hello, yes.
Yeah.
I just was calling in because I have a baby named Morgan.
Uh-huh.
She's a girl. And sometimes, especially older people, look at us strangely. Why did you call your daughter Morgan? My father-in-law was also quite concerned, but I persevered.
So why did you name your baby Morgan?
I thought it was unusual and beautiful and Celtic.
It's nice. What about the strength thing we were talking about? Does it have a certain strength that Susan doesn't have?
Well, maybe I'm reverse sexist. I don't want it to be too strong, because then people might think it's a boy.
That's so funny. The name Mildred means mild strength or moderate strength. And when I first discovered that, I thought, how funny that we want girls to be strong, but not too strong.
Yes.
I mean, I want her to, from a character perspective, to be strong. But, you know, I don't want people to continually think, just looking at her name on an envelope, oh, this must be a little boy coming in or something.
Yeah. Yes. Morgan Stanley, they'll think she's going to be a financial genius.
Well, that'd be wonderful.
Yes. Yeah,
that's great. Thank you very much for calling in.
I love the show. Thank you.
Good. I mean, I would name my kid Morgan in a minute, but that's because I'm a car buff, and Morgan was always my favorite British car.
You know?
The only one, by the way, with a wooden suspension. I guess you could say no suspension at all. Tara in Homedale, you're on the line?
Yes.
So what's up on the name front?
Yes. I am currently pregnant, due in December, and my husband and I are looking to name our son, we know it's a boy, Evan. And, you know, most of the time I see it as a masculine name, but, you know, I believe I've seen female Evans. I guess sometimes I get worried that, you know, people will see the name and assume that it's a feminine name and, you know, I don't know. So get a complex, but I guess I wanted to know what the prevalence was as far as masculine, you know, as opposed to feminine with the name Evan.
I haven't seen
it as a
female name.
Say that again. I was talking over you, Aline. Sorry.
Okay, I have not seen Evan as a female name, but you can go online to the U.S. Census and it lists the top 1,000 names under male and female for the past year, and so you could find out if it's in the top 1,000 for girls. I don't think it is.
Right. By the way, the previous caller was named Tara, and I assume she was named for Gone with the Wind, right?
Ah, probably.
Yeah, could well
be. That's another thing. Place names are being used as given names for people.
Yeah. No, someone's calling from Fort Lee. What's your name? Malek?
It's Malek.
Malek.
Yes.
Right. And where are you from originally, the family?
I'm Palestinian.
Right. Malek.
And so Malek is Arabic.
Right.
But I was calling because it's interesting. I have a son who's 9 months old, and when it came time to name him, my husband is Indian, and so we wanted a name that would work sort of, you know, in the Arab culture and somewhat in the Indian culture and definitely in the United States. And we chose the name Zane. Zane in Arabic actually works for both male and female.
Nice.
Is it a Z or a D at the first?
Z, like zebra.
Oh, okay. So it's like Zane Grey. We have a very famous American writer named Zane Grey.
Yeah, people have told me that since they've met Zane. But it's interesting that you talk about the power, because one of the things that also drew me to the name Zane is this notion of it's one syllable, and I thought it's more powerful as one syllable in a name.
Uh-huh.
So just wanted to share that story.
Yeah, no, I can understand the power of that, of wanting the simple name you can just call. Zane, stop that. You know, right? It's got punch to it. Right. Now I can relate to that. So you've chosen a Western name, but not in the sense that you knew, which is the Far West, Zane Grey. Right?
I actually didn't know that when we chose the name. Zane in Arabic means like a beautiful thing, the thing of beauty. And so that's what we were working with. And then I later came to know that there was this, you know, famous
cowboy writer. He lives in Arizona, really.
But I love that it works for both cultures for you. That's wonderful. By the way, my name is Marty Goldenson. I'm sitting in for Brian Lehrer, and we're talking to Aline Nielsen, who is an English professor at Arizona State University, co-president. Is it with your husband?
Yes.
Co-president of the American Name Society. What's the American Name Society do? I never heard of this.
Well, it started, I mean, it's like 60 years old, and it was originally a bunch of engineers who did place names. And they feel bad that now we people from literature have come in. We study mostly literary names or the names that authors use and create. And so there's like two groups of it. But we still have a lot of engineer types who study the history of names and how places get their names and what they mean. And many of the people have done like those books that are written for nearly every state, The Names of New York. It'll be a member of our society who's written that particular book. And like in California, there's so many names people do. The Names of San Diego County, that's a book. So it's largely historical. Plus, I mean, I came in it from sexism.
Right.
That I was interested in the difference between male and female names.
Gotcha. By the way, Bruce is calling in from Ridgewood. Bruce?
Yeah, hi. Thanks for taking my phone call. I was wondering if people rebel against their names. I had a friend, or I was a client of mine, who named their child Wildman. And I was wondering if he would grow up to become a banker.
Hold on a second. They named him Wildman?
Yes. And I was wondering, like Madonna, you know, a name like Madonna, would the child grow up to, you know, rebel against the name?
Yeah.
They'd get ridiculed.
Yeah.
Many teenagers do. I mean, many people. I changed my name in fourth grade when we moved to the city. I took my middle name because I had a family with all these odd names, and mine was Mary Aline, but nobody called me Mary Aline. They just called me Mary. So I didn't want to be that different from the rest of the family, so I chose my middle name. But little kids do it, and up through, like in my freshman classes, we start the class talking about our names, and many, many people have in some way changed their name when they go to high school, or they get a nickname they like, or they drop out the first name and go by their middle name. So lots of people do it. I mean, that old custom where people... kids used to get a new name when they went into puberty. That's not so far removed from what we do now.
But if they keep their name, would they rebel against the name?
To go just the opposite.
Yeah,
well,
I mean,
it would stand to reason that kids who resent their parents or resent that, of course they would do that. I mean, anybody who changes their name is rebelling against their old name in some way.
And also, you know, we started this conversation about sexism and about men with women's names. Or women-sounding names, or what used to be women's names, like Beverly. Now women's names that used to be men's names, like Beverly, which used to be a man's name. They must rebel as the culture changes so they can protect themselves from being made fun of in, you know, high school or grammar school. Got to change your name.
And names can be very fashionable when you give them to a child, but a child lives 80 years. There's a lot of cultural change that takes place in those 80 years.
Angela, are you on the line from Brooklyn?
Hi.
Angela from Brooklyn, hi.
Ah,
you had a response to this Bruno comment I made earlier, no?
Yes, Bruno, very, very masculine name. But also in Southern Italian, Sicilian, I think especially, the name Bruna for a girl is, which actually means brunette. Bruno meaning dark-haired, okay?
Uh-huh.
Now, that's a spin on the Bruno. A few years back, my niece called me. She lives up in Canada now, and she said, "Aunt Angie," okay? Now, I like to be called Angela. And she said, "Aunt Angie," I said, "would you be my godmother at confirmation? I'd like to take your name as a middle name." And I said, "Oh, I'm so proud," blah, blah, blah. 2 weeks later, she calls, and she says, very sheepishly, "And Angie, would you mind if my name could be pronounced Angelique?" So I let the pause, okay? And I said, Joanne, I said, if you gave me the honor of asking me to be your godmother at confirmation, I would prefer that you keep it Angela. Now, why she put a French spin on it, I don't know, because I thought Angela was pretty good right there.
Well, we all want to be a little French, you know?
Oui, un peu French, yes.
Yeah, I think so.
And then I have friends of mine who have two little daughters. One is named Taylor, and the other one is named Skylar. Now, you would think those are male names, right? They're the two most little feminine girls you ever wanted to see. You would think maybe, you know, tomboys, right? So, yeah, there is a different spin that people put on names.
I know people are using brand names now, too. I have a niece named Navy and one named, is it Nikon? No, it's after a camera. That's not Nikon. I forget.
Canon and Nikon.
Canon, that's it. Forgive me. Canon and Navy. These are the two little girls in that family.
Yeah, forgive me. I got to break in because we're running out of time. But thank you very much for calling in, Angela. And I want to thank Aline Nielsen, who is an English professor at Arizona State University, co-president of the American Name Society, as we said, for joining us. And that's it, except for this final musical comment.
Well, my daddy left home when I was 3, and he didn't leave much to Ma and me, just this old guitar and an empty bottle of booze. Now, I don't blame him because he run and hid, but the meanest thing that he ever did was before he left, he went and named me Sue. Well, he must have thought that it was quite a joke, and it got a lot of laughs from lots of folks. Seems I had to fight my whole life through. Some gal would giggle and I'd get red, and some guy'd laugh and I'd bust his head. I'll tell you, life ain't easy for a boy named Sue.